welcome to this episode of the award-winning Best of the Left podcast. This is a sample of our recent bonus episode, usually only available to members. These episodes are comprised of our crew of researchers, Amanda and myself, all getting together for a roundtable discussion on topics that we find interesting. So here's a few minutes for free so you can know what all the fuss is about. So we're using Seinfeld actually as a stealth entryway to what I think is actually a better conversation about comedy and satire right now. I think Dion's point is quite good about maybe Jerry's perspective on like, hey, we weren't playing characters. We actually just believe that stuff. Like maybe that's where his confusion comes from. But what has been swirling for me for like months now is that Amanda and I came across a couple instances of satire directed at the left, sort of moderate liberals or something like that. And it made us think like, we should try to analyze this a bit. And it sort of like made us feel uncomfortable, but not just because like, oh no, like we're being made fun of and now I'm sad. Like it wasn't that sort of discomfort. It was, there's something going on here and I don't quite know what it is. And so there's the Amanda principle, first of all, that we talk about pretty regularly. That's where a piece of art can be simultaneously taken or weaponized by either the left or the right, saying this piece of art agrees with me, when of course only one of those can be correct. And then I went looking, I was like, does this already exist? Is there something similar that helps explain comedy and politics and the relationship a little bit better? And again, it's not perfect, it's not exact, but Poe's law, this is just one of those internet laws that that got coined, comes close again. So Poe's law was coined when debating on like a religious forum about or with creationists. And so Poe's law is, without a winking smiley or other blatant display of humor, it is utterly impossible to parody a creationist in such a way that someone won't mistake for the genuine article. And then, you know, the internet did what the internet does and created Poe's corollary, which is the same, but in reverse. It is impossible for an act of fundamentalism to be made that someone won't mistake for a parody. So we read Poe's Law and Internet Satire from turbofuture.com. And it sort of explained a few of these instances of the left satirizing the right and the right taking it as non-satire. So like The Onion has that happen a lot. They make fun of the right and the right thinks that they're being supported by this strange news organization called The Onion that I've never heard of before, right? The old Colbert Report used to get this a lot. Stephen Colbert was a satirical right-wing buffoon, and right-wingers would watch the show and be like, this guy knows what he's talking about, right? And at the very end of this article, there's like some bonus factoids. And this is the one that I think tickles the weird feeling, the weird itch that Amanda and I were getting with some of this liberal satire. And we'll get into those details. But they talk about stealth parody. So it says, the internet has made it simple for people with malicious intent to undermine campaigns through what's called a stealth parody, something that overlaps with Poe's law. While appearing to be supportive of, say, vegans, the stealth parodist will post a comment so outrageous that it discredits the movement. Sometimes they're also referred to as sock puppets, which is a term I've heard before, but I don't know that I could have perfectly defined it. So what I think I'm realizing is that when we have watched instances of parody and satire of liberals, which I don't oppose, some of it comes across as like so over the top, so outrageous, as the stealth parody describes. It's so outrageous that it actually discredits the person being parodied. So I think we just have to give examples to help clarify this. So there's a new show on Peacock called In the Know. It's a stop motion animated parody of NPR and NPR listeners written and created by left-wing people who are themselves NPR listeners and lovers of NPR. And so they are trying to parody themselves. So first, I want to play something that I think is an example of good satire of the left. And the setup for this is that this little NPR station, the host trying to be a do-gooder, found an unhoused person on the street and invited them into the building to use their staff bathroom.
Oh, I also wanted to let everyone know that that homeless gentleman is still in the bathroom.
Barb.
Huh?
That is hate speech. He is an unhoused person.
Actually, the preferred term is person who is currently without housing.
No, I don't think so. Are you sure?
Yes.
I'm sorry. I'm really very empathetic to the man's situation. I volunteer at a homeless shelter.
No, you volunteer at an unhoused shelter.
A shelter for persons currently without housing.
Well, it just feels very clunky.
Oh, I'm sorry. Is it too inconvenient to treat vulnerable populations with respect?
How dare you? I was using the term Inuit back in the 90s. I've been spelling women with a Y since before I could spell my name.
Either way, until he leaves, everyone on the floor will have to use the Starbucks down the street.
And maybe that will teach us about the lack of water closets in this country. May I remind you all that this is public radio. Let us urinate and do all other washroom shamefuls in solidarity with our unhoused brothers and sisters.
Brothers, sisters, and non-binary siblings currently without housing.
God damn it!
So that I do not find over the top or outrageous. I feel like I've had that conversation, and I think that's a perfectly fitting thing to sort of gently tease liberals about. But the character who was doing the correcting, who was like the most correct about how to describe that person in the bathroom, is the character who is given lines and stories that are absolutely outrageous, go way over the top, are totally absurd. They are sort of a like 20 something, you know, definitely queer person who works at this radio station and is always going to the absolute limit and beyond of what would be considered social justice advocacy. One example that stuck out to us was, you know, they're watching their pet cam on their computer. And when a person sort of like comes up behind and, oh, what are you looking at? They say like, oh, what are you doing? You can't look at a person's pet cam without the prior consent of both the owner and the animal.
Yeah.
And you're like, all right, I kind of know what I'm getting at there, but that's like, that's way over the top. It's way over the top. So here's another, you know, continuing the storyline with the person in the bathroom. This is an example of like going so far over the top, it's uncomfortable.
I'm sorry, Lauren. I'm just worried about our unhoused friend. He's not responding when I knock. He could be sick.
And I suppose you get to decide who's sick, Nurse Ratched?
My God. You called in your goons.
That's Terry. He's the maintenance supervisor. He's got a bathroom key and he knows CPR.
What's next? The police? You want to tear gas this man?
Well, no, I...
Why do the police need a tank, Barb? Tell me.
I don't know.
Answer her question, Barb. Why do the police need a tank?
Answer my question, Barb.
I don't know.
You want to tear gas this man?
Oh, no.
With a tank?
No.
You want a tank full of tear gas?
No.
She's foaming at the mouth.
Let me be absolutely clear. No one will disturb that precious unhoused man. And if they do, I will personally call them out live on air in front of millions.
We average 30,000 listeners.
We're done here.
Tell me what democracy looks like.
This is what democracy looks like.
So, Amanda, I think what you said was, you're like, what are we doing here?
Yeah, I mean, it's only funny if it's somewhat plausible, right? There has to have some kernel of like, actually, this maybe could happen. Like, it is satire, it is over the top, but there is a line. And if you go too far over that line, it's no longer funny because then you're just making stuff up, right? Like, you're just like creating something out of whole cloth and that's not satire. So, yeah, when they start doing the whole police tanks and tear gas, you know, about this guy who's in the bathroom, like, and was like, I don't, now I'm no longer with you. You've lost me. Like, this isn't even close to anything that has ever happened or will ever happen. So, okay. And it's, look, satire is not easy, as we've learned. So I get it, but.
Yeah. What it reminded me of, and I'm making this reference because we had this conversation on this show, was the Babylon Bee, the right-wing satirical, the corollary to The Onion, which is like profoundly unfunny 85% of the time. And they did a satirical article where the joke was like, cyclists are bad and annoying. And the satire was that there was a cyclist like on the freeway riding at 15 miles an hour with traffic piling up behind them. And our whole analysis of that was like, but that's like so far beyond satire to this level of absurdity that like you're just trying to discredit the existence of cyclists, but like it falls flat because it's so beyond the pale.
Well, and I think the feel of it, like the host of the show, the main character, Lauren, like it definitely has the feel of leftist critiquing leftists, or not even critiquing, satiring leftists. And so I think that's why it's relatable and it becomes funny. Whereas this character, that is kind of how the right wing would paint a queer, yes, maybe non-binary or part of the trans community. I know they reference that. I'm not sure how they identify. But in it, like the feel is very ick, because there are so many ways that you could make fun of that person, or, you know, poke fun, whatever, that includes them and comes from that like progressive understanding. And this just misses it. Mm-hmm. It just feels like a characterization that the right would offer and that we're now going to display in our leftist media or leftist comedy, that makes it seem like, yeah, those people really exist and it's really that extreme.
And that's why I was confused, like, who is this for? And knowing who made it, it seemed kind of confusing, because the only way to do that as a parody is if that character kind of does exist. And we don't feel like it does. But if you watch right-wing media at all, they 100% think those are, that's like nailed it. That's exactly what those people are like. Mm-hmm. So if you're making comedy for a completely different audience than you think you are, what is the point? Or do they secretly believe that? Because recently, you know, just bring up Bill Maher again for no reason. He's kind of gone on this track where he's talking about the left as if they're those people in that show, as if those people are like really walking around talking, saying all those things, not as a joke, but like they really exist. And if that's what you believe, then I guess some of their ideas about the left would make more sense, if you believe that's what the left believes.
Yeah. And I mean, to me, it feels like it's almost more likely that more of the people on the internet posting comments along those lines are sock puppets rather than real humans. Like, it really is hard for me to wrap my mind around the idea that people would, you know, genuinely hold positions that are as absurd as what the right believes. Actually, like, what comes to mind is like AOC, right? She is targeted by the right. She is the top of the pile of people to hate from the right. And the things they think she has said or done, like when they say like, oh, well, here's why I can't possibly believe, you know, I can't understand why anyone would like her. Do you know that she has said X, Y, and Z? They always quote something that is actually made up. It was actually a fabricated quote, a fabricated tweet that was, you know, applied to her. And so like the things they hate her for, she genuinely has never said or done or believed. And so like, and of course, when we live in a totally polarized media landscape, like they're never going to find out that what they believe about her is wrong. And then like on the flip side, even people on the left might not even know that the right hates her for reasons other than her real politics. You know, we might just think like, oh, they just really hate universal healthcare or whatever. Like, no, they hate her because they think she said things that she hasn't said. But to shed a little bit of light on the creation of the show, we went looking for interviews with the creators. And so they had a couple of things to say that do give perspective on where they're coming from. This interview from The Wrap, they say, there was some, this is Zach Woods. He's the voice of the main character. There was someone who said, are we still in 2024 making fun of liberals? And I was like, yes, of course. Like, hopefully forever we'll be making fun of liberals and conservatives all the time. I don't think anyone should be exempted. We're all ridiculous. Let's have fun, you know? And that's a perspective I can get behind. Like, I don't, you know, whatever, sacred cows and, you know, taking oneself too seriously. I mean,
that's it for today's free sample. There's lots more of that particular episode, as well as there being dozens of past bonus episodes that you get access to in your feed the minute you sign up as a new member. Paying members are who make this entire show possible, and so these bonus episodes are a fun way to say thanks to them for their support. In addition to those full bonus episodes, members also get bonus clips in every single regular episode, as well as there being no ads in the regular show. If you would like to be our newest member, you can sign up at bestoftheleft.com/support. You can use our Patreon page, or you can do it from right inside the Apple Podcast app, and links to get there are right in our show notes. And if you can't afford membership, I offer free financial hardship memberships. Just drop me an email to j@bestoftheleft.com, and we will get you set up, no questions asked. Or, again, to sign up and support the show and our ability to give away free financial hardship memberships, visit us at bestoftheleft.com/support. Thanks for listening.